Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Let me just check here. Ben Simmons is still a Sixer. Whew, okay. Well, I'll tell you, you know the worst time they could possibly announce the trade would be?
When?
When you're working. All right.
Exactly.
Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Auburn tries to win in regulation on a 35-foot hero ball shot. Like, Dick and I looked at each other like, what are you doing? It was absurd. It was the ultimate hero ball play. They got the ball with 16 seconds to go, and this guy takes a 35-foot three-pointer to win for Auburn. What? Arkansas wins it in overtime.
The lead is 4. Number 1 Auburn with 10 seconds left. Here's Green off the mark. Loose ball controlled by the Hogs with 2 seconds left. And this will finish it in style.
My old friend Tom Hart with the call last night on ESPN2. Tom always does a great job. And Arkansas stops the Auburn 19-game winning streak. Oh, I was here listening. So what happens to Auburn now? Oh, I don't know. They play this weekend?
Their second loss of the year. First in the SEC.
Well, but you know what? To be honest with you, Auburn has been trending in the direction of losing a game. They have been going through one close game after another of late, and you know sometimes that margin of error catches up to you. It caught up to them last night,
and plus they were without one of their point guard last night.
Yeah, so I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, agreed.
Because I was concerned that they wouldn't be fine, and I started losing sleep. You don't seem to believe me. Well, why don't you believe me?
Oh, my almighty!
Because that's just not the way you roll. Like, at all.
Well, that's kind of true, yeah. All right. So, I think let's have a little bit of fun here with the Super Bowl and the West Coast. And talk a little bit of football here, because I think it's an interesting guest. It's going to be, let's bring in Tracy Sandler. She is the host of the Tracy Sandler Show on the Believe Podcast Network and the CEO of Fangirl Sports Network. Tracy, what a pleasure. Great to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what inspired you to start Fangirl Sports Network?
Well, I grew up a very big sports fan. I have loved sports all of my life, and I just didn't feel like there was content that was speaking directly to female fans. So I wanted to create something that went a little bit off the field, did a little bit more features and lifestyle in conjunction with, you know, analysis and game recaps and all of that stuff. And I also wanted to create somewhere where we could highlight women in the industry and the amazing things that they're doing. So that was really the genesis of it.
All right, so in the 6 years... You know, you start out with an initial idea as to how you want to do it. First couple of years you're executing. What changes have you made over the, you know, now in years 5 and 6?
Well, a lot of changes that we've added merchandising. We added in a second podcast. Our first podcast premiered a few years ago. Originally, we had just a 49ers podcast. So now the Tracy Samler Show is all encompassing, and Get My Job highlights women in the industry. And we changed the business model somewhat. We used to have fangirls for all of the teams, and we found that our content was really better served when focusing on the brand, and then obviously the content I do covering the 49ers. So there's been, you know, a variety of changes, obviously ups and downs, as there always is, but I'm really happy with where we are and proud of kind of the strides that we've made.
You know, it's interesting because strides have been made with women broadcasting sports, not enough, but strides have been made from the Lisa Byingtons to Beth Mowins. We've had, you know, who have both been on the show, and Kate Scott, whom we think the world of. She was on the show just a couple of months ago.
She was a Get My Job guest, and she was fantastic.
Isn't she? Kate is wonderful, and really good. She outworks people. Right, and I think that's important. Did you feel? I'll dovetail off of what I talked with Kate about. Have you felt that even though you're trying to carve that niche, that you've had to outwork people to make this happen?
Well, I think, you know, I think there's always a part of that, because there's always another person who wants your job or wants to do what you're doing. And I think that's important. You know,
I do the play-by-play for Penn State football and basketball. I know what you're talking about.
there's so many incredibly talented people, and you know, working hard. I think we have hit a little bit of a culture, and I hope that we can kind of back on this, that, you know, that we have to always show the hustle and that we're working harder than everybody else. And I think there's pluses and minuses to that, and pros and cons. And I think it's important to, you know, also give yourself some time and space. But absolutely, you know, you don't want to say no to things, and you want to constantly be on and constantly be working. And that is I hate the word balance, so I'm not going to use it, but that's a struggle. I'll go with that in itself. But yeah, I mean, it is important that you are always kind of working and keeping your finger on the pulse, because there are so many talented people in this world, in this industry, and I do think it is going to be the people that are, you know, probably putting in that little bit extra effort. But I feel that I've been really lucky, too, because I've met with very supportive people. Fangirl's been met with a ton of support, and I feel like I've been very, very lucky, because I haven't had too much backlash or negativity around what we're doing, which has been great as well.
If you're a really good pro, you won't. So that's what you are.
Well, thank you.
So let's get to, you do a lot of work around the 49ers. And so what has made them, it's an interesting organization that Kyle Shanahan, I know, gets a lot of credit for what goes on. Robert Saleh is now the head coach of the Jets after the great work he did with their defense. What has allowed the 49ers to get themselves into a prime spot, even though this year they didn't get over that last speed bump to get to the Super Bowl?
Well, I think they've done a very good job at building this team from the time Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch came in, and everybody bought in. And it was interesting, because I've been covering the team now since 2016. Yeah. You know, in that first season, they went, I want to say it was 0-9 before they won a game.
Right.
But what was so interesting was that locker room was not a depressed locker room, because everyone had bought in. Everybody knew there was a plan. Everybody knew it was a rebuild. And there was excitement around the organization. I think that's just continued over these last several years. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have done an incredible job of surrounding themselves with people who've gone on to be hired in other positions. You mentioned Robert Saleh, Mike McDaniel this week is now the head coach of the Dolphins. Adam Peters had been interviewing for a number of GM jobs. They've obviously surrounded themselves with really smart, really capable, really great people. And it's helped build the organization. And they've built a football team of people who have bought in, of who actually like each other, who really like football and understand what needs to be done. And there's not a lot of ego on this team. You know, if you look at George Kittle, who's probably one of the best tight ends in the league, and the way he's been used, there's not ego. The point is to win. And everybody's in on winning, and I think that is a huge part of what they've built.
Only knows every time Debo Samuel touches the ball, I'm like, okay, let the fun begin.
Everyone's favorite wide back.
Yeah, exactly. So now I do have to ask you about Jimmy Garoppolo. The record, Kyle Shanahan's record as a head coach when Jimmy Garoppolo starts is about 667 in terms of winning percentage. Games he hasn't started, they only have 8 wins. All right. How tough might it be for Kyle Shanahan, the coach, to not have Jimmy Garoppolo there, knowing that he's had some success tied to Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, I think, you know, this, it makes for the very interesting Jimmy Garoppolo conversation. And when they made the trade to get Trey Lance, you know, a lot of that was based on Jimmy Garoppolo's kind of inability to stay healthy, which is probably not, you know, not his fault. Mm-hmm. And that's part of football and part of the game. But, you know, that has been an issue. Of course, this year he, for the most part, stayed healthy and was able to play, even though at the end he was playing hurt. So I think that is a challenge. I do think, and I have the utmost respect for Jimmy Garoppolo, and I do think he is a very, very good quarterback. And a lot of what we just talked about before about how they've built success is Jimmy Garoppolo. When you see where the team was before he got there in 2017 to now, it's a pretty incredible jump. But I think in Trey Lance, Kyle Shanahan has another very talented quarterback with a very high ceiling, and that's no disrespect to Brian Hoyer and CJ Beathard and Nick Mullins, but those were the other quarterbacks he was working with when it wasn't Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
And I do think Trey Lance is a more, you know, gifted quarterback and probably has more potential. And again, that is no disrespect to any of those people, because I really enjoyed covering them and I think they're great people, but I do think that's part of it as well. But the loss of Jimmy will be a loss. I mean, this locker room loves Jimmy. He's been a leader on this team. He's been a huge part of the rebuild of this organization, and I don't think that can be discounted as they make the transition.
You know, Tracy, what's interesting is I feel like, and this is from 30,000 feet here, that that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan made the Trey Lance pick because they feel the future of the league is a quarterback like that.
Yeah, I think that might be true.
Right. So now let's take the next part of it. I really have not watched him play. You know, it's kind of hard to do. I mean, you know, when he's at North Dakota State, he played one game in a year, and I didn't exactly make that appointment viewing, no offense to the North Dakota State and the one game they played.
To the Bison.
So you've seen him play. So what is it about him that you think he can bring to the table?
Well, I think what you see, and this is something we started to see in training camp, and it dropped off some, and then his first start was a little rocky, but the improvement into his second start was pretty incredible. But you see these flashes of the kinds of things where he is able to extend plays, the way he reads the defense, the dynamic, explosive plays that he's capable of. And we definitely have seen flashes of that. And I do believe when he gets a full offseason, first team reps, and knowing he is the quarterback, it's just going to get better and better. I'm not saying he's going to come in next year and, you know, light the league on fire. He could. I'm not saying he won't either. But I think you see a ceiling and potential with him that he can just be a really explosive, incredible quarterback. And I think that's what we saw. We saw him make some passes in training camp that you were like, okay, yep, that's why they made that trade. And we didn't get to see it as much in game action. But that, I don't, you know, I think that's just the nature of the season and the nature of where he was and how much playing time he got. But when you, if you really look at the difference between starts one and two, it's not that the second start was like groundbreaking, but the improvement was so incredible. You can see just where he's going to go from there.
Right. So I have to ask you about the Super Bowl. So it's not like the Niners.
Of course.
The Niners aren't unfamiliar with these teams. They are very familiar.
Yes, both of them.
Especially with the one. Especially with the one above all. But, I mean, what – I've looked at Cincinnati and I've looked at the Rams. And I try to look at units. And I don't mean an offensive unit, defensive unit.
Right.
I feel like the weakest unit in the field might be the Cincinnati offensive line. The strongest unit in the field might be the Rams defensive line. And that's a bad combination.
I think you're right. I think you're very right about that.
So how do you view this game as to what you think will be important the first quarter and a half that we should be looking at that could set the tone for the final two and a half quarters?
Well, I think the Cincinnati is going to have to keep pace with the Rams for that first quarter and a half. I mean, that Cincinnati offensive line, the much maligned Cincinnati offensive line, is going to have to figure out a way to protect Joe Burrow. I mean, I've been picking the Bengals, and my reasoning is that the Rams are the better team, and they're a team of superstars, and all conventional wisdom says the Rams will win this game, but I now refuse to bet against Joe Burrow. That used to be my Tom Brady philosophy. That is now going to be my Joe Burrow philosophy, is that I will not go against Joe Burrow. And I think if they can give him a modicum of protection, I think he's really special and he can do amazing things. Again, you look at the Rams, the two units you just talked about, you just look at all the stars they have on the field. Yeah. All conventional wisdom say the Rams are going to win this game. Mm-hmm. But I think it is going to be a much closer game than people expect. And I am going to pick the Bengals to win because I think if it comes down to the wire when push comes to shove, yeah, I'm all in on Joe Burrow.
It's interesting because he only played six games last year. And in the six games, I'm watching him. Now, the only time I ever saw him in person, Tracy, he was warming up for Ohio State in the sideline. That was it. He didn't
get... Oh, you said terrible words. I went to Michigan.
I know. I understand. The team from, the team from the South. But I said the first six games, I said, you know what I like about this guy is that the Bengals aren't very good, and they weren't very good last year. I said, this guy gives them a puncher's chance in every game. That you have to be a special talent to do that. Now he's got a little more around him. So I'm with you. I think Burrow's got a little something that a lot, you know, somebody, you have it, you just can't put your finger on what it means, but he seems to have it.
Yes, I would agree with that on every level.
Except for the part where he was at Ohio State.
Except for the part of Ohio State. But then he ended up going to LSU, which is why I've chosen to just forget that part ever happened. That's just my own personal decision.
Well, you could actually take into account that Ohio State didn't play him.
Right. Exactly. There you go. Exactly.
You could take pride in that.
Exactly. 100%. So I can be all in on Joe Burrow and you know, move on. I'm all in on Nick Bosa, so I guess I can be all in on Joe Burrow.
Be all in on Kevin Givens too. He's from Altoona, just down the road to Penn Stater, and Robbie Gold. Okay.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin Givens grew up 40 miles south of here. Mm-hmm. Robbie Gold grew up 35 miles north of here. They're both.
Oh well, there you go.
They're both Penn State guys. So there you go.
Fantastic. I love it. This is what I like to hear.
Tracy, thank you. It was an absolute pleasure. I hope you enjoyed being on the show. We loved having you.
I absolutely did. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your Super Bowl week.
Ben Simmons is still a Sixer. Thought I'd check.
Yeah, thanks for the update.
Well, I mean, it seems like that's the only thing you're obsessed with today. I want to talk about sports.
I'm checking the Twitter. I'm good.
You're checking the Twitter?
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to concentrate on your game tonight?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'll take that as a no. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOT.
There is definite motivation from both sides to make this to fall into place. The Sixers were out there yesterday having trade negotiations with other teams, looking to clear roster spots, looking to move other players on their roster, including Tobias Harris, in what looks like ancillary moves to support a James Harden arrival.
I'm sorry. We're back. Something may be not off. All right. I hate this show.
You're such a party pooper.
See, you're all about demise.
And I love trade deadline talk. I love the...
Because it's somebody's demise. That's what it's about.
In this case, yes.
It's all about demise. That is what, I mean, let's be honest about it. That's what drives you. I mean, you've been aching for my demise in this show for years.
Oh, my almighty!
And every day I show up and disappoint the living daylights out of you.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes.
Because I'm a party pooper. I will give the ESPN this credit. Mm-hmm. They do a great job of covering the league. And they do it in such a way where they make you feel like everything is supposed to be a big deal. Legitimately is a league that has only five or six legitimate contenders for the title. The Sixers, because of Joel Embiid, probably are one. But for example, a trade is made between Portland and Orlando. So what? Most of the nation, I mean, there are people in Orlando going, what? Really? Is MGM open? Hey, I got a tea time at 9. Oh, the Magic got a couple players from, really? Wow.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Guess the suit had an Olympic party today because we finally won a gold medal.
I haven't seen much of him today, so I'm not sure what that means. Maybe he went to go have a couple cold ones. I don't know.
Well, there's a lot to celebrate. I mean,
kind of sad so far.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. First of all, we'll tell everybody today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street and Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Budget may say pre-owned inventory. Well, it has the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Your trade-in's never been worth more, so there's value there. And not only that, it really is one-stop vehicle shopping because they have a great service department. Whether it's the routine, whether it's an inspection, diagnostics, whatever it may be, they can handle all of it. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Yeah, in my class today, they have to do a one-minute report on something. I was referred to as a field report. I said, there's sometimes the low-hanging fruit is the story you have to do. Said, but you can't sit there and do a report, for example, on a game and then tell me, and then this happened and this happened. And so I already watched it. You can't do that. So you got to find something like the game within the game, something that's important. So I said, let's brainstorm for a moment. Let's take the Winter Olympics. Why are the Winter Olympics falling off a ratings cliff right now? I said, so let's go around the room. You know, and I got some general thoughts from everybody as to what, you know, they thought about it. And it was general. I looked at everybody and said, now let's get to, like, some meat and potatoes. I'll throw a couple of items out there for you to think about. I said, let's start with this, the time difference. I said, it's 13 hours ahead. So I'm doing this at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I said, right now it's 10 o'clock at night in Beijing. I said, that's an issue. I said, it's also the third straight Olympiad where we've had this kind of time difference between the Eastern time zone and where the Olympics happen to be. Which then brings us to number two. You have a network that is still using a 1960s and 70s and early 80s model to present the Olympics. Which means that they are doing the 8 o'clock show to 11. They're trying to act like it's Wide World of Sports. They're going live here, live there. You're not going live anywhere. When it starts at 8 o'clock at night, that means at that point, it is 7 o'clock in the morning in Beijing. I said, that's an issue. I said, we are at a point where unless you are binge-watching whatever is on Netflix or whatever it may be, people aren't watching or do not take to watching taped events. We all have devices. We know what the result happens to be. We all know Michaela Schifrin, after 5 seconds, missed a gate. Do I have to now watch it? Which then brings us to the next element. And it's something I've complained about before. I said, look, the fact they're not doing things live, I said, they're missing the boat. It's 2022. Don't sit there and watch live on tape. I said, that's not how it happens anymore. Which brings us to the next element in this. I mentioned Michaela Schifrin. There's no star power. There's no star power. The people that are supposed to be the stars of this game, one, Sean White hasn't even competed yet, but he's in his 30s. Unfortunately for her, it's been a nightmarish Olympics. She lost her father in 2020. Even though she is still one in the World Cup circuit, this has been a nightmare for her. But she was somebody that NBC was counting on to give the boost. And when you're only racing for a total of 16 seconds in two events, there's no boost. It's not her fault. It just happened. Next part, I said the announcers are all doing the events with the exception of the interviewers in Stamford, Connecticut. My class was shocked to find that out. I mentioned how we had Kenny Albert on the show, and we talked to Kenny about that. You know, I mean, we knew about it. That's why I brought it up with Kenny, because we knew about it, that they were going to do everything in Stamford. And they said, you got to be kidding me. I said, nope, makes it more difficult to do. You don't feel like they're as connected because of it. I said, now let's get to the elephant in the room. I said, let's be honest with everybody. I said, there's another element that's keeping people from watching. I said, you have a government-sponsored Olympic Games with a government that a lot of people either don't respect, fear, or are disgusted by. I didn't say the country or the people. I'm talking about the government. And it said, in this political world, you got people not watching because it's there. So that doesn't make for the entire loss. But I said, now let's take all those elements. I said, now come up with a 60-second report that maybe takes one or two of them as factors in your opinion and surround it with a soundbite and do a report. I said, that's how you come up with a story. I said, we sat here, all of us, and brainstormed reasons why or opinions why as to why we thought the ratings have fallen off a cliff, down 50% now. I said, that's how you come up with a story. See, how did it feel? Feel like you were sitting in the classroom, man?
Hey, I always learn something.
Yeah. But I mean, I wanted them to participate in doing this. In other words, get them to think not about just the basics, but you can think outside the box. I said, look, and you can do the low-hanging fruit. If you want to do your 60-second report comparing the two quarterbacks, go for it. That's fine. You want to do a 60-second report on the fact that Zach Taylor was on Sean McVay's staff with the Rams, and now he's the head coach of the Bengals, and they're facing each other? I said, go ahead and do it. But I wanted them to think differently. In other words, not just think differently. In other words, think. Don't just sit there and go, okay, let's see how the game played out. No. You got 60 seconds. Tell me something I don't know. Russian teen sensation believed to have failed drug test. Controversy disrupts games. Wow.
Oh, my almighty!
I just read the headlines. I'm not going to read the story. I have no idea who it is. All right. Last night's game. Penn State's now lost their last two games by a total of 3 points. The first... Okay, so now let's take what I just talked about and I've tried to impart to everybody that you need to look. You can't just do the basics when you look at sports, right? So the low-hanging fruit, okay? Those who cover sports are brilliant at the low-hanging fruit, and the low-hanging fruit sometimes is not the reason of why or why not. So that's why we try to talk about these things. So you get to the end of a game. Oh, the end of the game, the end of the game, the end of the game. And the end of any game, when it's close, is played up too much. Every once in a while, yeah, it comes down to that play and what that play meant to swing the game. I got it. And sometimes that is the story. But in last night's game, for example, it's not the end of the game. The game was tied at 48 with 3:37 left. John Hara got the first two free throws of the game for Penn State, and he tied the game up. And then after that, it was a 10-9 Michigan deal down the stretch to win by one. I've said many times on the show, usually there are three different times the team can win a game or lose a game. One of them happens to be in the first half. You know, one of them can be at the end. Sometimes another one's midway through. You know, that, well, in basketball, we always talk about that under 12 to under 8 segment in the second half that kind of swings which kind of game you're going to have down the stretch. But you can win or lose a game in the first half. Penn State is up 34-23 with about 3 minutes to go in the first half. And to be honest with you, they're playing beautiful offense. They're playing great. And then a few lineup changes were made. And Michigan hit some shots. Penn State couldn't. And suddenly, it's 34-33 at the half. While I'm doing the interview, we had the dean of the Smeal College of Business at halftime. They were the game sponsor last night. Dick taps me on the shoulder and he says, "That Caleb Houston shot that you called a three, but they ruled it two?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "They just saw it your way. It's a three." Suddenly, they gained a point. It was 34-34. Penn State lost the game by how much?
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But it's also the right call. I thought it was a three live when I saw it. In the final 23 minutes, Penn State offensively could generate nothing. It looked like the Wisconsin game all over again. Except here's the bottom line. Michigan wasn't generating anything either. That's the element that's remarkable here. There was a point in the second half where Penn State's down four, and it made two more baskets in the half than Michigan. And here we go looking at Penn State, oh, they're not doing this, not that. And all of a sudden, you looked over, Michigan had four made baskets in the half. You're like, oh, they're not doing anything either. Penn State's defense kept them in. But it's that three-minute segment at the end of the first half. That's where the game was won or lost. And Micah Shrewsbury did something after the game that I thought was, and Dick and I were just sat back and went, wow. Right? We were, wow. It is rare, especially for a rookie coach, to talk the way he did last night with us. Listen to the first two questions that he answers on the postgame show last night, because this is very honest and very retrospective and introspective.
The coach, for 17 minutes, we thought we watched beautiful offense out there. There's a lot of factors that go into it. So from your point of view, from, you know, what did you see in the first 17 minutes, and then what didn't you see the final 23?
Yeah, you know, I thought we did a great job of moving it, attacking them, kind of getting what we want, moving into second drives and doing different things. And, you know, we didn't attack their zone very well. And that's where we needed to be better in terms of that. We were slow getting in and out of what we wanted, and we were attacking the rim in the second half. We just couldn't get those shots to fall. And I mean, we're right there. We're shooting point blank shots at the rim, and we got a couple wide open threes off of it that didn't fall. So sometimes it's make or miss, and unfortunately, we had too many misses.
There've been some games, Michael, where you've been down the stretch. You've had a chance to win. I know Purdue was right there, a couple of other games, but you felt like your team gave it everything, gave themselves the best chance. Is this game going to linger a little more because maybe this is one that got away?
Yeah, this hurts, and like we got to finish the half better. We were up and had it right where we wanted, and a couple guys got tired right at the end of the half, and you know, I'd probably need to use my timeout then and let those guys rest in the timeout and not sub them. And, you know, we subbed and they go on a run and now we're down. So I got to be better. I told our guys that I need to be better for them. I lost my cool, my composure, and I'm asking them to keep their cool. And, like, you know, they feed off of me. And if I'm acting like a little kid, then they're going to act like a little kid too. I got to be better. I apologize for that, and I will be better. And, we're going to win the next time it's close like this.
You don't hear many coaches, let alone rookie first-year head coaches, talk like that. Like, I need to be better. I lost my composure. They feed off of what I do. I didn't make the right decision in the final 3 minutes. I probably should have called a timeout. I wasn't comfortable, you know what? It may not have had the right personnel on the floor. What coach talks like that? Dick and I walked out of the booth exponentially. We were impressed with Micah Shrewsbury to begin with. We're more so now that he has the ability to look around and say, you know what? I need to be better, and I know the reasons why. Wow. We could just get a couple people in the station. Okay, we'll come back with what? What? No? You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Touchdown, Shakalabi!
No, I thought that was very impressive last night. Like, you sat back and went, oh, wow. All right. So, Sunday's the Super Bowl. We're going to do a piece on... We actually are going to do a piece on betting. They say 31 people are going to place some sort of wager on the game. 31 million, which is a record. And I think the total number they think is going to be about 7 billion. $7 billion? How about that? It's a lot of money. So what game do you have tonight?
I got Bucknell Men hosting American tonight.
All right.
On the PA mic.
There you go. Now, I guess what Doug is now doing the TV side of it, right?
Correct, yeah. So now for home games for the men, it's Doug and Terry doing the ESPN Plus broadcast, and then Sam Cooperman does the broadcast over on the Valley. And then when they're on the road, it's just Doug on the Valley broadcast.
Well, first of all, there's no such thing as just Doug.
Very true. My apologies.
I mean, you need to... Okay. You need to amend that.
You, sir, are my hero!
Yeah. Yeah. So. All right, so Sunday. Are you sick about hearing about Joe Burrow? Is that...
I wouldn't say sick, but the whole quarterback thing is definitely the low-bearing fruit, I can tell you that.
Well, I'll tell you, they're not, I mean, they're not there without him. I mean, I don't think you can overstate what he means to his team. I know Matthew Stafford has helped the Rams get where they are. There's no question about it. But there is no Joe Burrow, and I don't think the Bengals are over 500.
I can get on board with that, yeah.
Man, I know he speaks very highly of you.
Yeah, I like the kid. I'll be rooting for him on Sunday.
There you go. Kiss of death.